I like what he said about clearing our minds and our hearts. That's what we need today. Amen, Thurman. Let's see here. Let's look in. I'm going to read a few verses here in chapter 12. Boy, I had something else on my heart, but I ended up here, so y'all pray for me. I got a lot on my mind that's dear to me. I hope it will be to you. Just nothing new today. Everybody in here is just about older than I am, so I ain't going to tell y'all much, but amen, Larry. You are older than I am, ain't you? I know Murray is. I'm just kidding, Murray. I'm just kidding. All right. I like to pick on Murray. She gets mad at me. I told her she didn't get mad. I wouldn't pick on her as much. And Shelby. I pick on her a lot, too. But anyway, if I'm not picking on you, I don't care much about you. I'll tell you that. Let's see here. Let's read chapter 12. I want to read, didn't really get this down in my mind and heart how I wanted to go with it, but the Lord's able to help us, and he'll bring it out like it needs to be, I guess. And we're looking to him. If he don't help us, we can't do nothing no way. So I just want to read a few verses and get started here and see how we go. It says in chapter 12, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying," now this is in preparation of Moses leading the children out of Israel. Y'all know the story. "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house, and of the household, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor let next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish and a male of the first year." I just stopped to say this, how the scripture and how the Lord, he don't mess around. I thought about Fury says and a male, and I thought about it does a lot of other places in scripture. There ain't no transgender. Did you ever think about that? I mean, there's a message there, Brother Lowell, in itself to us today, the time we live in. Have y'all noticed, by the way, how they're pushing this agenda? A lot of other stuff too, by the way, I'm not going to mention this morning. They're promoting that. I mean, everywhere you go, everywhere you look, especially on that one-eyed monster, they're promoting transgender and, same-sex marriage and all that stuff. If you don't already know it, and I believe you do, all that's contrary to this book. I'll just leave it there. But he said a male. Blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. Verse 11, And this shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, staff in your hand, and shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 13, And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Verse 23, for the Lord said, for the Lord will pass through the and through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two posts, the Lord will pass over the door. We'll read a couple more verses, finish out with this, and we get on. And it shall come to pass, verse 26, and it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of children of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Like I said, this is Moses fixing to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. Y'all know the story, how the plagues were put upon them. This was the final plague. I thought about this and read it, and I just kind of passing this morning and studying. A lot of important. I appreciate what the preacher said. I think it was Wednesday night, about some things, you know, you can kind of let go. Things that's not maybe that I believe that you don't agree with, but there is some things in the scriptures that you don't deviate from, that you don't compromise about. It's a sad day today that the church of the believing God, so-called, you don't hear much about the blood anymore. I think it ought to be something that's mentioned often from the pulpit. It ought to be mentioned often in teaching of the Word of God. We ought never forget how important it is. And that's what I want to try to touch on this morning. But they was getting ready to leave, getting ready to pull out. As we're talking about this morning, of course, this is the Israelites. But there is a message here for us today. And this is kind of like a prototype, or maybe that's not a good word, but maybe you can get the idea. We're God's children today here, and we are getting ready to move out too. And there are certain things that we need to do, just like there was then. I want you to notice there's a preparation. There's a preparation. The first, and in this preparation, there are certain things that were necessities. I thought about when you're getting ready to go on vacation, you know, Thurman, and you know, you just don't go out. If you're going to California to stay a week or two, you don't just go out and get in your car. If you do, when you get out there, you're going to be lacking some things. Ain't that right? You get ready to go. You pack your suitcases, put your change of clothes or two in there, I hope, and some soap, maybe, and things like that, some necessities. And so there's a preparation here. You got to get ready. Over in verse 11, he said, and thus shall ye eat it, and notice this, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. I'd say getting ready to move out, wouldn't you? I'm going to go to a place, and I didn't really plan on doing this, but I feel like this might be the best place to do it. Just read you some scripture. This over in Luke has to do with us born-again believers. It said, blessed are those servants. Chapter 12, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Ready to go. Got their shoes on. Got their shoestrings tied. We're reminded not just here, there's other places. This is just the one I found. Verse 40 says, be ye therefore ready. Then in verse 30, 45, it says this. And this This is the part that concerns me more than some other things. And verse 45 says, but and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. I believe, in a sense, that's what's going on in the church today. We believe he's coming. We say we believe he's coming. We believe he's coming. It's like the preacher, you know, he'll mention often about when he was up here working. I asked him, you know, what are we doing all this for? If the Lord's coming back. Anyway, it's kind of the gist that we have, I guess, in our hearts. We believe he's coming. We say we believe he's coming. But do we really believe he's... I know we believe he's coming, but do we believe he's coming? He could come in the next minute. Or the next hour. Or the next day. That's the way we're supposed to believe it. But our actions... You know, they had an old saying back when I was growing up, your actions speaks louder than your words. You ever hear that? My dad used to tell me that all the time. I don't know why he told me, but he did. Your action speaks louder than your word. And by our actions, don't seem that we're saying that. I think we think he might come back next year or 10 years from now or maybe, you know, longer than that, somewhere on down the road. That's what he's talking about. But and if the servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Well, it's my duty as a teacher to tell you and myself, he is a coming, and he could come back before we leave here this morning. Now, I thought about what a difference, and you think about it, and you probably have, I'm sure, what a difference it would make in our lives, Brother Lowell, if we really thought about it like that. Would our conduct be any different? I'm prone to believe it probably would. Let me tell you what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. I just want to say to all of us here this morning, he's coming back. Get ready. Got your shoes on? Got them tied up? Got your staff in your hand? Talking about getting ready to leave here. That's one of the preparations, being prepared to leave. Being ready. There's some requirements here that's needed in this preparation. Requirements for preparation. Notice in verse 5. I believe it's verse 5. Let me look. Yeah. Verse 3, really. Notice this. I think the first thing you got to do is be ready. You need to be ready. Then you need to understand that there's some things you must have. Got to pack your suitcase, these things. First, you got to have a lamb. These people had to have a lamb. Kind of talking about them, but on the other side about us. There had to be a lamb. Speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man, what? A lamb. Got to be a lamb in preparation. This lamb was a special lamb. Are you with me? What just any old lamb, Brother Lowell? He's a special lamb. He was without blemish. Couldn't just go out there and get one in, you know, at random. No. You know, the Bible tells us that Christ stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now, for us, I want to tell you, somewhere around over 2,000 years ago, there was a lamb slain at Calvary. If you're getting ready to leave this world, you better have that lamb. It's a special lamb. Real special lamb. Had to be set aside. He was set aside. Not only was it a special lamb, it was a willing lamb. Hadn't really thought too much about this. Got to study it this morning. Scripture come to my mind. Isaiah chapter 53. He was a willing lamb. Had to be willing lamb. Chapter 53 verse 7. Isaiah says, he was oppressed. And he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to slaughter. As a sheep before shears is dumb. Yet he opened not his mouth. No refusal. To every one of us in here this morning, that ought to be a sobering thought. That lamb was a willing lamb. Ain't you glad for that this morning? Special lamb. Set apart. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year. You shall take him from the sheep and from the goats. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation, every one of us, without exception, Brother Lowell, I have to have the lamb, that special lamb, that willing lamb, the Lamb of God. The dear Son of God. Listen, I don't know if anybody in here is trying to get around that. I doubt if they are. I don't believe they are. I pretty much know everybody in here. But you know, it could be. If you try to get around that, you won't be ready. Churches all across the country today, bypassing the things that we're talking about this morning. Everywhere. Even in Kingsport. Even in Bloomingdale. If you miss that, you'll miss it. Special lamb. Without blemish. A willing lamb. Then you'll have to have the blood. Can't have the blood without the lamb. There were certain responsibilities with the blood. Had to be put to the right use. You had to take it, put it on the doorpost, door lintel. You see, if they didn't do that, you know what was going to happen to them? They're going to die. Not just die. You know, I just thought about something. How many of you seen that feller, Reagan? I think he's Ronald Reagan, not the Ronald Reagan president. I've seen him on TV. He's an atheist. Has anybody seen that besides me? A few of you have. You know what he's going to do one day? He's going to wake up in the devil's hell he didn't believe in. So if you die, it's not just dying like he thinks. I hope nobody in here thinks like that. It's not just dying. and it's all over with. If it's like that, it wouldn't be too bad. But that ain't the way it is. It's not just dying and everything's said and done. Matter of fact, when you die, it's just beginning. I'm talking about making preparations to leave. You have to take that blood. It's got to be applied. What's special about this blood? Like I said, we're living in a time today, last days, perilous times, time of falling away, church getting cold, Laodicean age fixing set in. In fact, I think we're right on the edge of that. You know, there's a lapse in ever age. When, not too much said about this. What's special about this blood? Well, one thing special about it, it comes from a special lamb. Come from a special lamb. Had to have a special application. Amen. If you don't apply it right, then the effect is it's no good. You know, he was very explicit here in this application. Still true today. When I see the blood, I pass over you. You know the Lord's coming back. You believe that? You know when he comes back what he's looking for? Same thing. You see, God's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He don't change. Brother Lowell, he's going to be looking for the same thing when he comes back. Special lamb and a special blood. What's special about it? Well, it was the ransom price. Did you know that? We was held at ransom. The ransom had to be paid. And the only thing it could be paid with was this special blood from this special lamb. Are you getting a little bit of picture of Calvary now? See, it wasn't just a man that walked Golgotha's brow one day. We hear that a lot. But it's much deeper than that. And I know when we say that, I'm not making fun or diminishing that or anything else. But I'm just saying, we need to understand and know in our heart that there's more to it than that. It's deeper than that. You can just about find anybody out here and they can talk to you about Calvary and what happened, how they crucified him, put thorns on his head. And I appreciate all that. But I'm going to tell you something, and you don't hear this much, but and you can disagree with me if you want to, that's fine. I won't get mad at you. If you won't get mad at me for saying it, that's a pretty good deal, ain't it? It wasn't so much a physical suffering at Calvary. Yet today, you see more interest in that than what I'm talking about this morning. All those things had to happen. And he did suffer. He suffered on the man side, on the human side. Can you see that this morning? See, that was the human side of it. But the spiritual side is so much more important than the human side. Going to the cross and Calvary and Christ dying and all those things, it was necessary. But it's more necessary for us as God's people to understand the depths of it, what was really important. Not so much, not that we don't understand his physical suffering, but that we understand that the spiritual side of that is so much more important to us. How important it was. How important that this was a special lamb. It was a special blood. And application's got to be done right. And God's got an order of everything. I hope you know that. Anywhere in this book, anywhere in this book, God has an order. And he wants us to, he says, let us do everything in decency and order. But the spiritual side ought to be, and there's a reason for what I'm saying is, if we understand this spiritual side of it, we'll appreciate so much more what he done for us. It won't be near as casual in our thinking. I believe if we really understand it, and I'm not saying nobody in here does or they don't, I'm just saying we're better than we ought to. It was a ransom pay for us. It's a ransom price. It was an atonement for our sins. That's the reason. In Romans 8:1, it says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. See, we're not guilty anymore. That's how important it was. We sit this morning, even though I look at myself, and you probably do too. If you see what we're seeing here this morning, you will, I guarantee that. Is how really down, low down, dirty, awful we are. You see, we use the wrong measuring stick a lot of times. And we say, well, I'm just as good as he is. We do that to justify ourselves. But that's not the right measuring stick. The measuring stick that we need to use is the one I'm talking about this morning, this special lamb. And I'll guarantee you, you get the measuring up to that one, and you'll be found wanting every time. You'll come up short every time. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, that special blood. The Bible calls it precious blood. Old Brother Riley used to call it precious blood. Maybe he saw something in that we need to see. It is precious blood. Peter put it like this, for as much as you know, you're not redeemed by corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations, received by tradition from the Father, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. The writer in Hebrews put it like this, I like this, one of my favorite places, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered him once, I like it, once, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, Who through the eternal spirits, here we go to the spiritual side, who through the eternal spirits offered himself, here we go again, without blemish, without spot. I say praise his holy name. He's worthy this morning. Listen, we could all, I'm not saying you have to do this. You can do, and I think about this. I say we ought to all praise his holy name this morning. We ought to all shout, thank God we've been redeemed. The price has been paid. The ransom's been paid. And when he sees me, he sees the blood. We ought to shout, praise his holy name. And I started to say we ought to get up and run around the building 3 or 4 times. But you know you can do, and this is what I was going to say, you can do all that. Some people do things different. Everybody reacts different. Everybody's made up different. Praise the Lord for that. But you can do all those things in your heart. And that's where it really matters. You see, our heart, and it's kind of, you know, a little bit hard to understand. Because you don't get carried away with it. But our heart is where everything matters. You ever thought about it? What is the heart? What is the heart? I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. I've thought about it. I'm not sticking you out on a limb. I've thought a lot about this, Brother Rose. What is the heart? Is that the thing that just pumps the blood through our body? No. The heart is the inward man, the real you, the spiritual heart. And boy, there's a lot in that. I can't explain. I ain't smart enough. I'm just an old country boy. But I do get a glimpse of that. The inward person, the inward man, the real you, the one that's going to live forever in eternity somewhere. We can rejoice in our heart without saying a word. I go down the road a lot of times rejoicing. Maybe praying. And I get to thinking someday, you know how you are. You get to praying and everything goes. You know, the devil will do everything he can to get you sidetracked. You ever had that happen to you? Happens to me all the time. I mean, listen. The Bible said when you go do good, evil is always present. I wish that was different, but that is the way it is. We have an adversary in the devil. You all know him, don't you? But I started to say I go down the road sometimes, I'll be praying. And the devil, he'll say, when people think you're crazy, you're talking to yourself. This might help you, Ralph. I thought about this. I've kind of got a way out now. I say, no, I think I'm talking on that phone. You know, you got it on you. I got one of them late model vehicles. You know, you talk on them things and drive on down the road. You know how it is. So, you know, they might think I'm talking on that. But anyway, I'm saying that to say this. You can rejoice in your heart. Driving down the road, eating breakfast, walking in the mall. Me and Brother Wayne walk a lot. Not a lot. I'd walk more than what we do, but anyway. You can rejoice at doing that. You can pray doing that in the heart. I sometimes get under conviction. I don't know where it might have happened to somebody in here besides me. I hope it has. Make me feel a little better anyway. Going in these places, you know, and you know, you ought to pray. I know you ought to. But I think, Lord, here I am in a place like this. You can't hear nothing. Everything just, you know, the music is going. And I thought sometimes, you know, we can do better than this. Did you ever think about anything like that? Now, I'm not criticizing you if you pray in that. That's fine. But sometimes I just felt led not to. You think that's wrong? Is anybody else feels like that besides me? There ought to be at least one hold her hand up and back me up. Come on, Brother Rick. Thank you. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying I feel that way sometimes. I do know what the Bible says. And I think I know what it means. I think I know what it's teaching. The Bible says, open the door. Go into your closet, Brother Lowell, and shut the door behind you. Now, I don't believe that eliminates public praying, by no means. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe in those places like that is where you can really get a hold of the Lord. That's just been my experience. I can get by myself somewhere where I know I'm not alone. I don't have to worry about somebody thinking I'm crazy. It works. Try sometime. It'll work. Precious blood. A precious lamb. Well, I'm about out of time. I'm going to finish up here. We're getting ready to leave here. We need to be prepared, and we need to have the right things packed. I've been standing up here running my mouth for the last 40 minutes on that. I hope somebody has been helped as much as I have been. If we have, it'll show up. Okay, I'm going to read a few more verses. We're getting ready to leave here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 13. I know everybody knows this, probably can quote it by heart, but I'm going to read it to you. We would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That sound familiar? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now that might include us and it might not, we don't know. But those that went on before, see, that's what brought this around. Those loved ones, ones dear to us, not only them, but all the rest of them, that's went on before, by the way of the grave. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with shout and voice from the archangel and trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore, comfort one another with these sayings. Now, I read all this really to get to this next part. Chapter 5, verse 1 said, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Brethren, those are individuals that have taken the blood, the precious blood from the precious lamb, and made the application of it. Their heart, brethren. But of the time and season, brethren, you have no need that I should write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, they being the ones that the blood has not been applied. Two groups. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, this is talking about the day of the Lord. Up here, we're talking about the day of Christ. Oh, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Hallelujah, Ralph, what a glorious day. Boy, I tell you what, the point I want us to get all to get, this is made possible by that precious blood, that special blood, that special lamb, and that right application. Now get this, for this corruption must put on incorruption. That's what I was telling you about this a while ago. If we see ourselves the way we really are, we're corrupt. But we're going to put off that corrupt. For this corruption must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come the past, the saying to pass. Listen to this. Then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written. I tell everybody every time I read this, you need to get you a good ink pen. Wouldn't hurt if it's red. Underline, put parentheses around that word, then. 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 See, we're not complete yet. Brother Lord, we're not complete yet. This thing ain't done yet. But when this happens, thank God it'll be over with. Thank God it'll be complete. Amen. That's the day I'm looking for. This old corruption's put away. When this corruption said this corruption must put on immortality, and this mortal must put on immortality, and this corruption must put on incorruption. And then shall be brought to pass the same. Death is swallowed up in victory. Woo! As Preacher Jack used to say, whoopee. You remember him saying that? Whoopee. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, strength of sin is law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, because of these things, because of that precious blood, because of that special lamb, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor's not in vain. Might not look too good right now, but listen, there's a come that I like that song. There is coming a day. You like it? Amen. There's coming a day. And that's what I've been trying to get us to see all morning. There's coming a day. Might not look too good right now, but listen. If you have that special blood of that special lamb and that special application, there's coming a day, Brother Lord. Whether by the grave or the other way, it's going to be all right. Hey,